This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. There's a movie from 1986 called Out on a Limb, starring Shirley MacLaine. And in it, she plays herself. It's her autobiography. And at one point in the movie, she's having a heart-to-heart with her good friend Bella Abzug, who also plays herself in the movie. And they're talking and talking, and Shirley said, "You know, Bella, there is just something missing in my life. I have everything that you could possibly think I would want. I have fame, I have fortune, I have talent, I have family, I have friends, but something is missing." Bella listened as a good friend. She really didn't offer much advice, but she listened. So then, Shirley, still seeking for whatever was missing, goes off and has an affair with a married man. Big mistake, didn't help at all. Made it worse, obviously. And then she met a friend by the name of David. And David began to teach her about her spirituality. And they had many long, long talks. And one day, they were having a talk on the beach, and it was getting really, really intense. And he said, "You know, what you have to realize is that you are one with God. That is the teaching of Christ. You are one with God." And when she didn't quite understand it, he tells her to stand with her arms outstretched and proclaim an affirmation to that effect. So she kind of musters up her courage, and she stands up and she looks out at the magnificent ocean and she says, "I am God." And that's where they lost me. Lost me completely. Now, I'm not here to denigrate Shirley MacLaine or the movie. There were some great parts in the movie, but it's not theology that we want to embrace. It's a slippery slope, a very slippery slope. Michael Coist, a remarkable French priest who died in the late 90s, wrote this, and I quote, "We are not God. We are simply the image of God, and our task is gradually to discover that image and set it free." End quote. I have it on a little card on my desk because I can never quite remember it, and I see it and say it every day. Every day. And I say, on this third Sunday of Advent, when our theme is joy, that we are to set that image free in joy, embracing our lives as no one else can, as no one else can. And to realize, most importantly, that we are part of something greater than us, thank God, part of a whole. And as such, we are to bear witness to that whole, to God, to Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit, our magnificent triune God. John's gospel today says exactly this about another John. Another John. "He himself was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light," the text tells us. In other words, John had found his image and set it free. He found out that he was the voice crying out in the wilderness, and he knew it, and he declared it in his wild and woolly way, and he was causing quite a commotion. So important is this story that in this cycle of the calendars, we hear it two times. Remember, if you were here last week, we had the same story last week from Mark's gospel. This week, we're hearing it in John's gospel. Same setting, we're on the banks of the River Jordan. People had come from all over the Judean countryside, and all of Jerusalem trekked down this hill, probably many of them barefoot, on foot, for days, So enthralled were they with this charismatic John. So enthralled were they with his message, his bright expression of the light of Christ. He attracted them and he called them and he calls us to the true meaning of the word repent. I'm sure you've heard before, metanoete, which means to change your thinking. Frederick Buechner calls it, come to your senses, come to our senses. As we realize, it's not of us, it's of God that we want to be an expression. It's of God. And so they told him everything they'd ever done wrong, and he baptized them in the river, and they made their way back up that mountain for several days on foot, joyfully. But I think there was an extra step, an extra lilt in their step, because he not only baptized them, but he told them about this man, Jesus. He told them about the Messiah. They couldn't believe it. Finally, he's come after all these years. And John knew something as he wrote this, or his community did, knew something that history had changed. And we don't know why the incarnation happened at that exact moment, but in the beauty of what we say in one of our Eucharistic prayers, it happened in the fullness of time. The fullness of time. And everything was changed and challenged and healed. A new way of living. Jesus, this evolutionary vanguard. How's that for a phrase? Evolutionary vanguard. I didn't make it up. Christ in their midst. Among you, he tells the Pharisees who were quizzing him, among you stands one whom you do not know. He's the Messiah. You just don't get it. You don't see him. Well, my sisters and brothers, we too are called to recognize Christ in our midst in this very moment. And especially so in whatever grief, in whatever troubles you bring here this day, whatever loneliness might be surfacing at this time of year, as it does for some people, memories of those that we wish were with us, and in whatever joy, like I had Friday morning listening to my 5-year-old grandson singing his heart out at his little Christmas show. Christ in the midst of us, and it's an all mixed up, all of our emotions are all mixed up together, and Christ in solidarity is right there. And as we gather each week and we get to know this light, then we are called to gradually discover our unique image of God, and it is ever new. It's not like you get it one day and then you got it the same the rest of your life. It's that you are open to that evolution within yourselves. In loving and caring for this world, ever changing. As we look to Christ in our midst, right here, we don't have to look very far. I saw it especially this week in several ways. In several ways. First and foremost, in the way people have rallied around the Roland Mitchell family in the loss of Philip. The way Wednesday night, when we had the privilege of gathering in the youth house with many of our high schoolers to do a little candlelighting ritual, and then there was a portion in the middle of the ritual for memories, and I thought maybe they would say, you know, 5, 6, 7 things. They talked for almost an hour and a half about how wonderful Philip was, and they laughed, and they cried, and they joked, something about a skunk, I think. Christ in our midst. And I saw it in the outpouring of love for the angel tree. 208 children that are needy and needed presents. We provided that. That's Christ in our midst. I see it in the Holy Redeemer dinner we did at Thanksgiving and Friday night with the school and their dinner that they provided. I see it all the time. And I'd especially like to point out how we see this, especially about pointing to Christ in and through our Daughters of the King. This is a prayer group of probably 50 women, is that right? Over 50 women now, who pray, and they hold up these people who have asked for prayers, knowing that it is God that is going to do the healing, not them, but because of our prayers and our intercession, we are changed and things happen. And it's a mystery, a glorious, glorious mystery of Christ in our midst, and I give thanks. And if we are bold enough, if we're bold enough to tell people what's going on with Christ in our midst, we would have standing room only at every single service. Every single service. And that's our call as Christians, to go out and also be the voice of one crying out in the wilderness of this world that we see in many different ways. We can tell them about the joy, and then people from the Boynton Del Rey countryside are going to make that trek, hopefully, to come here too, to learn about this Christ in our midst. And Graham Standish wrote an article recently for the Alban Institute, which is kind of a think tank for churches and faith development. And he speaks of churches that are growing and declining. And he said that what he has consistently noticed in churches that decline is that they, quote, have no sense that Christ is in their midst, that this presence of Christ can bless them and make their churches places of love, end quote. He says those that thrive are communities that are, quote, open to God at their core. They expect an encounter with Christ, end quote. And so on this third Sunday of Advent, I invite you to write out on a little piece of paper, expect an encounter with Christ, and put it up somewhere as your Advent discipline between now and the end, when it gets more hectic and more busy, to take a moment and look for Christ between now and Christmas Day. Expect that. He's with us in every moment, longing to make us whole, taking us to a place none of us have ever been before. And as we heard in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, rejoice. Because the one who calls you is faithful. Amen.
Amen.